It was good. It was a score. So, I mean, I don't know how you get any better than that, you know. And anytime you can make people miss, that's a plus, you know. We'd like to say we got them all blocked up on every play, but, you know, his God-given athletic ability showed up big time on that.
We've only seen a taste of what he can do. Pat was talking about the uniqueness maybe of guys that have a nose for the end zone. Does Trent seem to be that kind of a player?
Well, I think he can get in there a couple different ways. You know, he can make you miss and get in clean air, and he can also lower his pads and run through you to get in there. So, you know, it's nice to be able to go a foot or horseback, you know.
Brad, week before Trent had said he needs to make people start to miss after the Eagles game. You feel he was a little bit, not embarrassed, but just wasn't himself that first game?
You know, I don't think he was embarrassed. I just don't know that he had that many opportunities in air. You know, most of his lines or most of his runs were in line, and, you know, he was never able to bounce or catch the ball out with a little bit of air and be able to turn his shoulders and square up on a defender. So I just think it's probably the circumstances that happened in that second game.
Hey, Brad, Michael Regae, ESPN Cleveland and Sports Talk Ohio. With Brandon, the numbers, you know, obviously speak for themselves, but how important was it for you, how significant with his pocket presence, awareness, stepping and sliding a little bit, and all of the things that have to be conducive to having the type of afternoon he did, just over and above the raw throws?
Yeah, I mean, it's just how you expect a quarterback to play. I mean, we talked last week, I think, about being in the 65th percentile, and, you know, I think he accomplished that. I think some of the things you don't see were him standing strong in the pocket, the pocket courage. You know, you talked about sliding in the pocket, but just stand there in the teeth of a couple of throws and, you know, getting hit in the nose, you know. I mean, that's an important facet, and not moving your feet when you don't need to. So he did some of those things as well, let alone orchestrate and do a good job of the game plan.
Mark going to work with him about, or if you felt it's a problem with him maybe at times being too much looking and staring at a pass rush as opposed to staying with his receivers down the field?
No, really, really haven't caught him doing a lot of that. You know, he's more of a, because he can see and he's taller in stature, he's usually focused down the field. Now, we always say you have to feel the rush, don't look at it, and I think he's got a decent feel for sliding up in the pocket and moving from side to side and you know, peripheral the rush and not looking at it.
Jeff Shadov in the News Herald. Could you see signs last week that Brandon was going to have a game similar to what he did? And what can you see this week?
Well, you're never happy with a loss, and a loss as close as that first one was, you know, particularly when you had some culpability in terms of how it played out with the four interceptions. And so, I mean, he had his jaw locked. He's a competitor, and I know he didn't want that to happen 2 weeks in a row, and he was ticked that was his first outing, and it, you know, turned out poorly.
But did you see signs in practice last week that things were going to be better?
No, I wish I could tell you I was clairvoyant and that I knew that he was going to throw for 70% and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't see. I just saw, you know, just him approach it very resolutely, you know, and go about his business.
He talked yesterday about he was greedy in college, he said, because he knew he had the arm to force it into small spaces with, you know, Blackman and other guys being open. Is that a tough thing for a young quarterback to learn that, you know, you got to really pick your spots?
You do. I mean, you don't want them to be cautious. You want them to kind of live on the edge, you know. And have that kind of ice water, but you're right. You don't want to think every time that I'm going to throw it through the eye of the needle, because that's not necessary all the time. There's times where you have to make a power throw and you have to put a little extra oomph on it, but I'd much rather have him be an anticipatory thrower as opposed to a guy that, you know, saw it late and threw it hard, you know, throwing early as opposed to throwing hard.
Nate Ulrich from National Journal. Have you noticed improvement from week to week in terms of Brandon and his progressions?
I have. I mean, we've only you said it exactly right. From week to week, we've only got two. You know, there's only really a body of work there. But, I've seen that all the way along, and I saw a particular jump, you know, trusting the fact that checkdown's got to get the ball too. You know, the ball can't always get pushed up the field, even though that's the intent of most offenses, is to look high and bring it down low. You got to understand the importance of having the tempo and going from first and 10 to second and 4, as opposed to first and 10 to second and 10, because you put a ball up that, you know, that was down the field and it should have maybe been intermediate or short.
Scott Patrick from the Chronicle-Telegram. What did you know about Mohamed Massaquah before you got here? And then what have you seen in those first two games? It seems like he's gotten off to a real solid start.
Yeah, I was familiar with him coming out of college and kind of lost track of him, you know. Knew he had been up and down here. I knew from coming through here last year during training camp that he was hurt. I can't remember if it was a foot or something like that. And then he wasn't practicing. So that's all I knew. Then I got to know him a little bit through the wintertime and saw that he was a talented guy. He had a very good spring set of practices, and I expect it to carry over to the season, and it has.
As far as T. Rich is concerned, I'm sorry, Mary Kay Cabot. As far as T. Rich is concerned, do you think that the amount of work that he's getting right now is about right, or do you think that he's ready for more third down action?
You know, we kind of use him as we see fit. We had Obi written into the plan last week, and for right now, that he's doing a good job with that. You know, that's always some of the hardest things to learn, you know, is picking up the protections and that type of thing. But we've got guys that, I believe many hands make light work, and so you want to use guys whose particular skill level really kind of fits that situation. And I think Trent, you'll see Trent grow into playing more and more on those third down situations.
And you think missing, you know, all of training camp, you know, maybe delayed a little bit of that, you know, don't put too much on his plate all at once because of that?
Well, you want him to do the things that he's mastered, you know, and the other stuff you're always trying to refine and get better. But it surely couldn't help to miss those 3 weeks and all the blitz drills that we've had and those type of things.
I want to follow up a little bit about this is Larry Gibbon of CBSSports.com. I want to follow up a little bit on Massaquah. He struggled to separate consistently in the past, and it seems like one of the things you're seeing now is that he's open pretty consistently. And I want to ask you what you've worked with on him to allow him to do that, and how much the scheme has how much he's kind of flourished with the West Coast.
You know, I wish I could take bows for that. I can't take bows for that. You know, Mo had a great off season. As I mentioned to you, he had an excellent, you know, summer, spring practices. I think that Nolan and Mike have done a great job with all those receivers and, you know, bringing a young guy along that just got here, you know, really at the 11th hour. And a guy like Mo and Greg Little, guys that have been here, and then getting them to evolve and know how we want them to play football. So, I think we've just seen the start of things with Mo. I think he can get better and better and improve his game every week.
What development have you seen in things he still needs to work on with Mitchell Schwartz for his first couple weeks?
Yeah, he's a great, very, very smart kid, Mitch is. You see him in the blitz meeting this morning that he takes copious notes, and that smarts combined with he's a pretty quick study too. You know, the smarts don't get you by. You know, sometimes you got to get beat, sometimes you got to be told. He's a guy that can usually be told and put it into play on the next play, as opposed to be told and not be able to get it into play on the next play.
See improvement, particularly. I know he struggled a little bit in the Philadelphia exhibition game. Have you seen him improve even in the first Philadelphia game? And
yeah, I have. I just think that he's probably more confident in what we're doing scheme wise, and he's a little more confident in some of the technique stuff that he's doing to be able to combat premium defensive ends. He's going to face one. Usually every week, you know, just because he doesn't play on the left side doesn't mean he's not going to play against a good player every week. He plays against a good guy every week.
Steve Dorsch from Camp. In terms of communicating with Whedon along the lines of him going on 29. Is it more like talking, a lot more like talking to a mature veteran than it is talking to a rookie?
You know, I talk to him all the same. I'm not going to give him a bunch of dudes and how you doing, dude, and, you know. That's kind of not my style.
That's the way you talk. How does he talk to you? Does he sound like a different sort of kid, quote, unquote?
Yeah, he's wired the right way. You can just tell that kind of the fiber he's got running through him and maybe some of the paths he's traveled, he's already been there and done that in some ways. He hadn't been there and done this, but I think that's probably helped him, you know, in his life's experience so far. You can just be very direct with him and not sugarcoat things. I don't sugarcoat much. You guys are tag teaming it? You two ESPN
yeah.
Cleveland
yeah.
guys?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Josh Gordon has 3 receptions at this point, I think. Is it a lack of just opportunities going his way, or is he still learning to put himself in position to get the best?
Yeah, I just think it's a feature of, people going through progressions. I mean, sometimes, like as I mentioned before, you can have the greatest intentions to want to throw him a ball on this particular play, but you can't stuff a ball to him that doesn't belong there, or, you know, you end up with a game like Brandon had the first game. And so I think he'll get his share. I mean, we kind of pride ourselves on being able to move the football around and not throw it to any one person. Different routes, he's different spots in the progression, but it's not because he's not wiggling free or not getting open.
Last week before Cincinnati, I asked Pat about Alex Smith. And the injury aside, what I asked was, because of his skill set, you see yourself lining him up more, maybe as an H with motion, as a lead back. And Pat said he's really kind of sparked for you guys because he has shown up the way he has with the variety of ways to use him. I mean, do you, the injury aside, but I mean, do you see that happening as the year goes along to take advantage of what he does?
Yeah, I mean, they've always used him that way here, and we've continued to use him that way. He has the ability to be able to play on the line of scrimmage, which not every fullback can play on the line of scrimmage standing next to a tackle. So he can do that. He can also take himself back in the backfield and play, you know, you would call it H-back or fullback type responsibilities, and as well as taking himself out in air. So he's valuable from that standpoint that he can do a lot of different things. And everyone is useful. No one is necessary, you know. So good blocker. I mean, what he lacks in any kind of technique, he's usually going to make it up with his effort and tenaciousness.
Two more questions, guys. What specific challenges does Mario Williams present to Mitchell this week?
Oh, boy. Speed, size, length, you know, reach. For being a 6'7 guy, he plays with pretty doggone good leverage. And leverage wins in football. So you got two big, tall guys, you know. The guy that can get lower is probably the guy that's going to, you know, have the best of it. But, you know, an athletic guy with, the ability to power rush as well as be able to speed rush you.
Good against the run, too.
Yeah, he's no slouch. Yeah, Mary Kay.
Can you address just how good the Bills' defense is, particularly the front four?
Yeah, I'd say outstanding. You know, they wave different guys in. You know, I don't think Williams gets enough credit for the way he plays in there, and he may be one of their very best defensive linemen. He was hurt last year, but I can remember him when he came out of LSU, and everybody said he was an undersized guy. I mean, the guy's a tenacious guy and kind of makes everybody kind of plays off of him in that defensive front. I know there's Mark Anderson. I know there's Mario Williams, but that guy is kind of the straw that stirs the drink.